Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You not go die unless you want die. But if you want die, shall you go die. One, two, three.
Morning, thank God, cause you made it yawning. Some others, they might be mourning a loving one. Two ways to look at this picture, I'm choosing one. Never since I was a young and been hoping, chasing and making it. Forgot to live my life and say thank you for all the little things. And mommy, I'm sorry, thankfulness for the night I met Mickey Ferrari. You told me to focus on that love and on that light. I knew my brother wasn't right. What did I miss out? Same brother drinking all this rose black bottle to piss out. Piss off, you never talk like that. So what you saying, black? You saying you found something more important than making cash?
What is that?
Welcome to Podcart and welcome to another very special guest. And today is it's Kofi and Yami.
Yeah.
How? What would you prefer? I called you Kwame, or am I pronouncing it correctly?
You are. Yes. It's Kofi and Yami. But I mean, it's my stage name. So yeah. A lot of people call me Kwame because that's my real name.
Yeah.
It's funny sometimes because. Some people actually don't know that my real name's Kwame. And they find out really late. It's happened a few times. I did like an interview a few years ago, and the interviewer had no idea that my real name was not Kofi Onyeami. So the first question he asked me was, so why did you decide to go with your real name as your stage name? And I'm like, it's not my real name. But yeah.
Research.
But yeah, Kwame is my real name. So by all means, yeah.
Okay. I've asked you to pick six tracks. I'm going to be playing a couple of your songs as well.
Oh, great.
And I wanted, we obviously are going to, some people that regularly listen to the podcast, it's songs that have kind of shaped your life or soundtracked your career and why they're important to you. You've picked some absolute belters. And I think this is the selection you've picked is actually one of my favorites so far. I'm not just saying that.
Come on.
I know. I think just because it is something, it reminds me a lot of my brother's music tastes growing up. So it's quite nostalgic, some of this,
right,
for me.
Yeah.
So first of all, what's your first musical memory?
My first musical memory?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It was in England, and I can actually picture this. I'm in the kitchen, and we've got this this old school kind of tape players that you kind of slide in, and you know, like play kind of like, yeah, track, four track recorders, and it was Michael Jackson's Bad album on cassette, and my dad had that album, and I was in the kitchen, and I was playing that album over and over again. That's one of my earliest, and it's like a very early memory of me just loving what I'm hearing and just being into music and just, you know, loving this song or loving this album and just playing it over and over again. Off the top of my head, that's probably one of my earliest, and I must have been about, I'll tell you what, I was younger than six.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact, yeah.
And
so I was probably about 4 or 5 years old.
How important were your parents within with music for you? Were they pivotal in terms of how?
I'm very, very pivotal in the style of music that I make.
Mm-hmm.
Very influenced by what I heard. My dad always played high life music in his car. So again, earliest memories is sitting in the back of my dad's car. This is in Ghana. We're either driving us to church, or we're kind of just, you know, out and about, and he's playing old traditional Ghanaian high life music, or he's playing old high kind of hip life music from Ghana. So artists like Daddy Lumba or Kodjo Entry, and you know, so hearing that, and then also from my mother's side, hearing a lot of gospel. She used to sing a lot of gospel at home.
Yeah.
She used to play a lot of gospel at home. So from hearing what they played and taking on board their influences to my influence, yes. I wouldn't say so much early on choosing as a career, because coming from where I'm coming from, music isn't really the first option.
It's either
you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, you know, one of those two, and it's no other option. So it took quite a while, I must say, for my dad to kind of come round and accept that music was something that I really wanted to pursue.
And I know that, so my father's Moroccan, and we used to get like literally plagued with Moroccan traditional Arab music.
Yeah.
And my friends, who are obviously from the west of Scotland, had never heard anything like this before, and
yeah,
I used to be so embarrassed. I'd be like, oh my God, what the hell are you doing? Play something commercial. Whereas now I'm so proud of all that music. Have you always kind of really been proud of your parents' music and so on?
100% no.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't always proud. I mean, that young, hearing my dad's collection, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, it was in Tree, most of the music. I wasn't that fluent in Tree or understanding what they were saying. So, but like you said, as I've gotten older, I started to appreciate it a bit more. And yeah, become just very proud about it. I don't think I've always been a fan. I think my dad kind of liked a bit of both. So there was some Bob Marley, you know, there was some kind of, you know, commercial music, yeah. But there was a lot of traditional high life music. And that stuff I just didn't get. I just remember sometimes he would drive back from the office into the house and he would sit in his car for another maybe 15, 20 minutes, just cranking up the volume to this kind of really percussion based tune. Boom, 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 boom. And he's just like, you can tell he's loving it. He's just in the car, he's loving it. Something that I would do to maybe, I don't know, a chance to rap a record or something. You know, I would just sit in the car and just enjoy it. He was sitting and I just never understood what's so good about that music. But then as I got older, I just really, you know, really appreciate it.
And we'll talk once we go into more of your music that you're making now. We'll talk about that because it's really, you've really taken on your roots. So the tracks that you've picked for this podcast, your first pick is Crisscross, which I think for a lot of kids probably around our age, they were huge.
They were massive.
So how did, why is this so significant?
They were massive. See, this is like I was saying earlier, it's when you asked me to pick some songs, I found it very difficult because it's something, you know, I love all kinds of songs. There's so many songs influenced me, but I had to be, I tried to be as honest as possible with myself and my journey and kind of go chronologically and kind of just pick records that were moments for me. And Crisscross, they were a moment for me because they were roughly about the same age. They were huge, they were superstars. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I didn't try wearing my trousers backwards at any point in time. You know, like they were massive. And that was probably one of the earliest, if not yet, that's like the earliest memory of me loving hip hop music.
Just kick a little something for them cars that be bumping.
Everything feels alright. I went to school without a fool, trying to pick a fight. I was loped out, crisscross shirts and khakis,
looking and feeling like nothing but a maxi.
The bell rang and I got my dash, feeling good cause it was the last day of school and I passed. No mom's tripping, so me and my mom were dipping to celebrate the fact that I wasn't slipping. The downtown scene was packed, people screaming from Nayrod to Marod and shoot a man.
I says I am what I am, that's who I be.
And y'all should have seen how they was trying to get to me. Cool, cause dissing them no pay. They're the reason why we are who we are to this very day. And all that love keeps me and Chris side. Long as we give some love back, everything's alright.
Hold tight, so we have to hold tight. Hold tight, so we have to hold tight. Tell them it's a cat and him have to hold tight. Tell them Chris cross, everything is alright. Coming out the place and you're feeling right. You're coming out the place and you hold your girl tight. Tell them it's a cat, him and DJ tonight. Say hold tight, tight and everything is alright.
Everything feels alright when I'm rolling through my hood and I see the one that used to do the dirt done turned good. Little kids trying to be like me with the braids, the shades, some pants and some Nikes, G. Ain't nothing more better than a letter saying I'm your number one fan. Kids, you're right me back, man.
Yes.
I try not to pass on the autograph. I try to do as many as I can. Now it feels good when I'm rolling through my hood. And ain't nobody dissing saying a nigga thinks he's too good. Cause I'm damn like both flat sides.
Just a little nappy headed kid from the Bronx.
Showing I can do right and not do wrong. Representing the BGs coming up strong and
we ain't got no love for the other side.
We only love those that love us back, right?
Hold tight, hold tight, so we have to hold tight. Hold tight, hold tight, so we have to hold tight. Tell them it's a cat and him have to hold tight. Tell them crisscross, everything is alright. Coming out the place and you're feeling right. You're coming out the place and you hold your girl tight. Tell them it's a cat, him and DJ tonight. Say hold tight, tight and everything is alright.
Now people seem to think what I do was a blast, cause I'm always on the road and I'm making some cash. But they
don't know.
Really though.
The pressure it is for some kids trying to make it in this here biz. Early morning interviews, then we step to school. Step from school back to interviews, then it's on the other dudes. So warm it up, Chris. I said you warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was going to do.
Now throw your hands in the air and wave from side to side. If the feeling that you're feeling is the feeling, let's ride. See, I ain't come out whack, I came out right. Unlike those modes, I chose to pass the mic. It's the Daddy Mac,
big baby.
Everything is real, but you want a diss, cause a nigga sold a cup of meal.
Look here.
You can't say nothing if you're last in the line. So when you diss it, just let me know I'm on your mind and it's
all right. Hold tight, hold tight, every pussy, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, every pussy, hold tight. But no matter if you're black or we, no matter if you're white, just come in at the house and make we all unite. Tell them first cross and them a drop on the mic and make we dance till the morning light. Tell them first cross are the people's dice. We have to dance until the daylight. Your girl in the place and your whole heart tight. And dance to the people's dice. Tell them first cross, them a fear than the mic. Dance come, come the vibes is right. Tell them it's a cat on the mic, yeah.
Picked a song that was actually off the second album because I much preferred the second album to the first album. There's a song called Alright which featured Supercat, the Jamaican kind of like dancehall superstar. So yeah, they were just huge, and it was the first time for me where I became a super fan.
Yeah,
that was my first my first memory of becoming a super fan of a group, of an artist, and saying I love these guys, I want to be like these guys, I want to get into this industry.
Yeah.
Or I want to, you know, mimic these guys as maybe, you know, a kid that age would want to do. And they were definitely it for me.
When did you first start performing within either your bedroom or thinking, you know, okay, what age were you when you started?
I'm thinking, say, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And again, this is going back to, for me, Chris Cross, MC Hammer.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like around that time, and it was mimicking the dance moves. I remember seeing first time I saw the All Right video actually by Chris Cross. I was around a friend's house and they had cable. We didn't have cable, so I was around a friend's house. Or what was it, cable? I don't think it was cable. I think he had a brother or a cousin or a family member in America who taped music videos for him and sent over the VHS, and he was just like watching reruns of old VHS tapes, and it was a Chris Cross video, and that's the first time I saw the All Right video. I just thought, wow, incredible. So it was just about, yeah, just me kind of, I used to write down lyrics and just recite their lyrics, not knowing what they were talking about, if I'm honest.
So you were raised in London?
I was born in Ghana.
Yeah.
And then moved to Norwich, actually.
Oh, right. Yeah. And so what age did you move over from Ghana?
One.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I was first time, 1 year old.
Did a lot of your family come over? Was it just your...
Everyone.
Oh wow.
So my father moved for the first time to England to study. He moved over to do his master's degree, his postgrad, and he moved the whole family. And again, when he went back to Ghana, he moved the whole family, which is only right. You know, he wanted to be close to his family. He wanted his family close. So wherever my father went, we would all go with him.
And what are your memories of living in Norwich?
I've got some memories. I remember I went to a primary school called Mousehold First School.
Yeah.
I think it was called Mousehold First School, yeah. And Norwich was interesting. I don't have that many memories. I remember one of my best friends, a guy called Gary, Gary Frank Tingle. I remember that. It's weird. That's funny. Like you bring that out of me. But I guess I'd say Norwich was where I first discovered the likes of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
The likes of the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a love of music until Chris Cross came about. It was more so, you know, just kind of dabbling. I think at that age in Norwich, it was just more so. I do remember cycling, and where we lived really close to the primary school. So I remember just having like cycling round kind of like the block, which was kind of, yeah, it was quite interesting to bring that back now, yeah.
Then was it on to London?
And then it was on to London.
Yeah.
But London was for a very brief period, and then it was back to Ghana.
Ah.
So it was back to Ghana.
Because you studied in Ghana, didn't you?
Yeah, so it was back to Ghana when I was... So I discovered Criss Cross in Ghana.
Yeah.
So you're talking, I was about 7, 8 years old. Again, it was my father went back to study.
Yeah.
I actually went back to teach at a university in Ghana, and because of that, moved the whole family. I think that's where the love of music started for me. That's where I discovered your Criss Crosses, your MC Hammers, your Dr. Dre's, and that's where I kind of started to dabble in a little bit of writing. In 1995, my father again came to do his PhD at Strathclyde University.
Wow.
So he moved the whole family up, so I came up to Glasgow. I think that's where my influence started to become a bit more guitar, because I discovered Oasis and
yeah, the
like
indie
that,
the side indie of stuff. So Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yes.
So Crossroads was again a huge hit.
Massive.
And I saw I saw or read an interview about. I mean, when we get on to Notorious B.I.G. and so on,
uh-huh.
the language that's used and the kind of style of rap, when you look back at that and how some of it is really quite offensive and so
yeah.
on. But this song is very much about the vocals. That's what strikes people with it. When did this song come about?
Crossroads came out in 95, 96, I think it was. The first thing about Crossroads was basically, it was just the singing aspect. It was the harmonies that these guys were doing.
Bum, 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 bum. Now tell me what you gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you,
when judgment comes for you.
Tell me what you gonna do,
when it ain't nowhere to hide.
When judgment comes for you,
cause it's gonna come
dance
for you.
Off, making it for Friday. Easy see something Charlie. Little group of guys got him, and I'm gonna miss everybody out of road.
She working on the plan to heaven. Father the Lord on 24/7 days. God is who we praise. Even though the devil's all up in my face, but he keeping me safe and in my place.
Say grace to the gates we race. Without a change to face the judge. And against my soul will buzz. Grudge me cause there's no mercy for thugs. Ooh, what can I do? It's all about the family and how we grew. Can I get a witness? Let it unfold. We live in our lives, we turn our soul. Ew.
Now follow me, Rostro. Weather is tell her it's happening. Come, let's go take a visit to the people that's long gone there.
While he's there, terrible.
We're steady keeping up of a family. Exactly how many days we got lasting? While you laughing, we're passing the way.
We gon' raise our souls, cause I know I'ma meet you up at the crossroad. Y'all know if I ever got love with them both thugs, baby.
Let me be long gone. Really wish you could come home. But when it's time to die, gotta go bye-bye. All the little thug could do was cry. My dog. Yeah, man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. And he shouldn't be gone in front of his home. When they did, the boo was wrong. Who's the wrong? Who's the wrong? Gotta hold on, gotta stay strong. When it comes, better believe on. Gotta show that you can lean on. Lean on.
Yeah, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. Every day.
at the time, I remember listening to a lot of Snoop Dogg, because around about the same time that Doggy Style came out, or maybe a few years after, I wasn't really into Nas and people like that. It was kind of around about the same time that Doggy Style came out. Salt and Pepper had an album out at that time as well, which was pretty dope. I was listening to Dr. Dre, Tupac, and then these guys came out and they were, you know, practically singing. They were bum, 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 bum. I didn't hear a word they were under what they were saying, but it sounded great and it sounded so different to everything that was out there, you know. And that is what struck me the first time. The imagery of them wasn't the best. I remember my mom hated it because, like, they use like skulls and kind of this very dark imagery. And my mum's very, very strong Christian, and I grew up in a very, you know, a Christian household, and it was like, no, none of these imagery is not allowed, you know, Retta Blair. And so, but I listened to it anyways, and yeah. But again, for me, Crossroad was a moment. It was another moment where my love of hip-hop made me, like, I was a fan of the group.
Another of your picks is Notorious B.I.G. R.I.P. Yeah. I heard Tupac blasting from my brother's room, and then I started to discover, like, the roots and Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. and so on.
I was a fan of the whole Bad Boy Entertainment movement. So for me, between say 97 and 99, to me it was just Bad Boy Records. It was Big, it was Mace, it was Total, Lox. That was my entire music collection. Massive fan of them. And I discovered, I was very much more of a Notorious B.I.G. fan when I was that age. And I discovered Big before I discovered Pac. I had to go back to listen to Tupac. But I picked More Money, More Problems because, again, it was another moment for me. It was a Biggie track that came out after he passed away. My mum, bless her, said that when Puff Daddy's I'll Be Missing You came on, she saw, like, I was watching it on MTV, and she saw me on the couch watching it, and she said I had a tear down my eye.
Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop. Who jewels got blocks, who mostly dope you down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, Mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop till I see my name on a blimp. Guarantee me and sells pull a level up. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the Goldie sound. Can't no PhD, niggas hold me down. Cooter, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Woody. True pimp, nigga, spend no dough on the booty. And then yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie. Rip all the spots, rock all the rocks, cop all the drops. I know you're thinking now when all the ball is stopped. Nigga never home, gotta call me on the yacht. 10 years from now, we'll still be on top. Yo, I thought I told you that we won't stop. Now what you gonna do with a school that got money much longer than yours? And a team much stronger than yours. Valet me, this a BOJ. We don't play, mess around, be DOA. Be on your way, cause it ain't enough time here. Ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down fair. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No info for the DEA, federal agents mad cause I'm flagrant. Tap myself and the phone in the basement. My team supreme, stay clean. Triple beam, miracle dream. I be that, catch a seat at all events bent. Gats and holsters, girls on shoulders. Playboy, I told ya, me and Mike to me. Bruise too much, I lose too much. Step on stage, the girls boo too much. I guess it's cause you run with lame dudes too much. Me lose my touch, never that. If I did, ain't no problem to get the gap. Where the true players at? Throw your rollies in the sky, waving side to side, and keep your hands high while I give your girl an eye. Player please, lyrically, nigga C, B-I-G-B flossing, jig on the cover of Fortune, 500. It's my phone number, your man ain't got to know. I got the dough, got the flow down, Pizzak, platinum plus, like Zizak, dangerous on Trizak, leave your ass Pizzak.
So when he passed, it was really, really, and I think that was the first single that came out after. It was huge. It was massive.
What was it about that movement that really struck a chord with you? Was it because it was so bold?
It was very bold. People kind of call that. It's referred to as the shiny suit era,
right?
Because Puff Puff was all about his shiny suits. Mace was all about the shiny suits. I was a massive Mace fan. It was bold, but at the same time, it was the first time I think hip hop became that commercial. And at 14, 15 years old, I was attracted to that, you know? Like many 14, 15 years old, year old are, I was very much attracted to the shiny suits. And I was a massive fan of just the style and Mace and just the way he would kind of, like, his swag when he rhymed. The same with Big, you know, just his voice and just his swag was just great. It was fantastic, and it was fun to see. So it was, that's what attracted me to that era. And I think Big was definitely the epitome of just that whole bad boy movement. And More Money, More Problems has Mace on it, it has Puff on it, and it has Big on it. And it kind of just signified that entire 3-4 years of hip hop for me. It was Notorious B.I.G., it was Bad Boy Records, and More Money, More Problems was that track anywhere you went.
Something that I want to ask you that might be a bit more serious, that's something I really wanted to ask you, and I feel that I'm brave enough to ask you, is that with your family and as a young black man moving to the UK, have you ever experienced any hostility when you've been here, or ostracism in any way?
100%. Yeah. One of my earliest memories of racism, I mean, I've been called the N-word before. One of my earliest memories of racism happened in St. Rock Secondary School. And it was in the classroom, and it was this girl. I kind of vaguely remember, but it was this girl that just kind of came up and used the N-word. I didn't know why.
Right, okay.
I didn't know what I'd done wrong. I didn't know. I didn't really either. It's funny, I knew that it was a bad word because I was told it was a bad word, but I didn't really get it. Did it make me angry? It made me very angry. I remember coming back from school, walking with my brother, and another young boy ran towards us and spat on my brother. And that was the first time I ever got into a fight was when, just like just spat all over my mouth for no reason whatsoever. And so, 100%. I've it's one of those things where I think also being at that age, you don't really totally understand it. But my dad always actually said to me, it's weird, he always said to me back then, remember that you're different.
Wow.
He always said that, remember that you're different. And I got it, but I also didn't understand it because kind of like, okay, yeah, because I'm black, but what else makes me different?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm also a boy, like my friends are boys, we like the same music, we, you know, we laugh, so why am I different, you know? So yeah, it's something that, it's one of those things where I would never known it if I hadn't moved to this country, because in Ghana, it's not racism per se, it's classism, it's, you know, it's, but it's something that I would never have experienced if I hadn't come to this country.
Do you still feel that anger now when you hear or see things that are just so full of injustice and so vile and just cretinous and spiteful? Do you still feel that same anger?
I do. I feel very angry, but that anger comes from a different place for me. And it's because we see what's going on in America, for example. And what goes on in America makes me very angry. The police brutality in America makes me so angry, to the point where I just, a lot of times now, just skim over it. I don't want to watch it because I know it will get me that angry. But it's from a different place. It's from a place where it's like you understand it and you know, okay, you know what, it's not right. And you're asking yourself why it's going on in 2018, 2017, and you have no answers whatsoever. I feel that now, being older, because I kind of know where I come from, I know my heritage, I think my fight is very different from theirs now.
Yeah.
So that's where I think that's where it's different. I don't completely relate to the African American, and that goes back to, I have a lot of thought on these things where it's kind of like the idea of what black culture is, for example, and I feel, I'm not the biggest fan of the term black culture. And the reason why I'm not the biggest fan of the term black culture is because I feel black culture immediately puts every black person in the same box. But every black person isn't in the same box. So the black man in Accra, Ghana, or Lagos, Nigeria doesn't share the same culture as a black man in Queens, New York. So it's unfair to put them in the same box. The black man's experience in Lagos, Nigeria is different from the black man's experience in Queens, New York. So yes, I understand it, and yes, it makes me very angry, but I think it comes from a different place now, because I feel like the experience of the African-American is the experience of, if you allow me to say, like, not necessarily knowing where they come from,
yeah,
and still experiencing this, you know, whereas my experience has now evolved to, I know where I come, you know, so maybe I feel a lot safer, or I feel a lot, you know, there's this, whereas I don't think they do. Still makes me angry, don't get me wrong. It's very, you know, it still makes me angry, and I hate to see it. And like I said, it makes me so angry now that I just don't like watching it. I will gladly just not watch it because I know it's going on. But I think it's from a slightly different place. The music that I create today, as I've gotten older, is different because it's me celebrating my difference. It's also me listening to the radio and telling myself, well, in all honesty, the radio is telling me what not to do. Because if I do exactly what's on the radio, then I'm not going to stand out. So here's what I'm going to do over here. That's what hip hop was back in the day.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, you do that. I'm going to do this over here.
So the big one, Mr. Kanye West. So let's, first of all, so The College Dropout was, we've talked about this, a seminal album, and one that really, it was a game changer for the industry, for so many people, an incredible album. You have mentioned that Kanye really shaped the way that he really influenced your music.
Definitely. Kanye West is undoubtedly my biggest influence when it comes to my production.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man.
too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shottown, what's going on?
I drink a boost for breakfast, an ensure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizzer. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Izzles back to wizard.
How do you console my mom?
Or give her light support, telling her son's on life support. And just imagine how my girl feel on the plane, scared as hell that I got look like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal, she been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be lying, I've been trying to be signed, trying to be a millionaire. How I used 2 lifelines in the same hospital with Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV, and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, history in the making, man.
I really apologize to everyone right now if it's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, the doctor said like 6 weeks. You know, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I looked in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. But I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, dog.
Yeah. Turn me up, yeah. What if somebody from the shadow was ill? Got a deal on the hottest rap label around. But he wasn't talking about coke and birds, it was more like spoken word. Except he's really putting it down. And he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in the game. Good dude, bad night, right place, wrong time. In the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. Thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. I swear to God, drive a 2-1 or 2. I got a lawyer for the case to keep us in my safe. Safe, my dogs couldn't tell if I looked like Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky. It was televised. It's been an accident like Geico. They thought I was burned up like Pepsi did Michael. I must got an angel, cause look how death missed his ass. Unbreakable, what you thought they call me, Mr. Glass? Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past. Toys R Us where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up, I'm a grown ass kid. Swear I should be locked up for stupid shit that I did. But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Make music that's fire, spit my soul through the wire.
You know what I'm saying? When the doctor told me I was gonna have to have a plate in my chin, I said, dog, don't you realize I'll never make it on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. She can't be serious, man.
And that all comes from the College Dropout. Through the Wire, it was the first track I ever heard from Kanye West. And just being able to hear these old soul records in that way. I mean, there were producers that did it before that took old soul records, but no one did it like Kanye did it, you know? And that's what influenced me the most. And it made me, a lot of my older production from previous albums, very much influenced by the way Kanye produces. And again, it was another moment for me. It was the first time where I felt like his mom was like a university professor. My dad was a university professor. I kind of felt like we clicked, which was weird. It was really strange. Like I kind of, on that album, especially like on the track Spaceship, years later, I used to work in Next. And years later, I felt exactly how he felt on that record. I was like, yo, yeah, I'm gonna end up punching my boss if he doesn't show. You know, like, it's you know, so Kanye spoke directly to me on so many levels on that album and other albums as well. But more so his production, his ear for production, his ear for his drums, the way he would program his drums, it's definitely influenced the way I produce my music.
So Kanye now, as Kanye now. I mean, obviously he still is producing. There's a couple of questionable videos,
yes.
And a couple of questionable songs. But I mean, we can't skip past the recent controversy that he's caused. What are your thoughts? Where does one start?
You know what? So. I've had this conversation with a friend already, and I am a fan of Kanye West. I'm not a fan of everything that he's done. Content-wise, he's spoken to me less over previous years, than he did at the start of his career. Production-wise, he's always speaking. I still love his production to this day. His production, I still think is second to none. But from the outside looking in, as a fan, or as someone who, I mean, a little side note, I was blessed with an opportunity to open for Kanye, in 2007 when it was the graduation tour. And this is me opening for my idol, and I was starstruck, speechless, all of that. I feel like as a fan, and when you look from the outside looking in, it's very obvious that as a man, Kanye has been going through some stuff. His mum passed away. My mum passed away. Like, I feel like he's spoken to me on so many different levels. But it doesn't mean that... I feel at the same time that he's very much vilified. And it's because... he doesn't know how to. It's like he's a spoilt child, But if you go to the recent, I'm guessing you're talking about the whole
slavery comment.
Right. So as a black man, right, I'll say this here: that comment did not offend me. It did not offend me at all. And the reason why it didn't offend me is because when I look at social media, everything that has been pushed from that has been it's been that 20-second segment from a 30-minute interview. It's been a 20-second segment of Kanye saying slavery was a choice. I watched the full 30-minute interview. Kanye West did not say slavery was a choice. If you listen to the interview within context and hear him land at the end of the interview, he wasn't malicious. He wasn't saying that slavery was a choice. The way he said it wasn't the best way. 100%, we all know that. Kanye West knows that slavery wasn't a choice. He knows that, people from my bloodline didn't choose to get on slave ships from Cape Coast, Ghana. He knows that. What he was driving at, and I feel if you watched his full 30-minute interview, what he was driving at was for something to go on for that long, he said, quote, I feel like it's a choice, because at one point you start to realize that maybe you're no longer physically enslaved, but you're mentally enslaved. And mental slavery is something that's completely different from physical slavery, right? I think we live in a day and age where people are very quick to take things out of context.
Yeah.
And just vilify people. And I'm like, you know what? How are you going to judge someone from a 20-second segment that the media are pushing on social media? A 20-second segment from a 30-minute interview. And a lot of people that I've had discussions with about this whole thing haven't actually watched the 30-minute interview.
Yeah, so I've not watched it, and I have gone by this 20-second segment. Mm-hmm. So I'm now going to go and watch this 30-minute interview. Mm-hmm. So that's all. I totally agree in terms of the vilification there. Do you think that people kind of relish now in being angry at people and not people not being able to make mistakes? We have to just shoot people and beat them down all the time.
I feel that we live in the most unforgiving times, and we live in a time, like I said, where everyone's quick to take things out of context and brand someone the devil from something that was taken completely out of context. Everyone's quick to get offended, I think, in this day and age. It's a touchy subject for many people, but I wasn't offended by what Kanye West said. Part of the reason why I feel I wasn't offended was because, here's the thing, like I said earlier on, this whole idea of black culture and the black experience is different across the world. The African American was offended because slavery is very close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that slavery isn't close to home for the African, right? It is close to home for the African. But the African American has lived in a situation where it's come from slavery and lives in a situation where, obviously, you know, we have the police brutality and the kind of like little bits of slavery are still kind of, you know, there.
Yeah.
In the system. His experience isn't like the African who lives in Accra or lives in Lagos, Nigeria. That's a completely different experience. His culture is completely different. Will the man living in... I'm pretty sure there's some people in Lagos, Nigeria, or Accra, Ghana that will be offended. I wasn't offended. And the reason why I wasn't offended is because, for me personally, it was because within context, he didn't say that. I think people just take things out of context and then just vilify it. And I'm like, well, that's unfair. You know, because I'm not saying that Kanye West is the most he's like a kid sometimes. You know, he doesn't really know how to move or maneuver in a room full of vultures. I think that's like a Jay-Z lyric. It's like he's a guy that will just, you know, just scream and shout to get his point across and realize later, okay, you know, I could have said it differently. That's not what he said, you know, and I didn't take it as that what he said. I wasn't offended by that at all. So I mean, I guess that's my point on, you know, on that whole slavery
thing. It's really
thing.
Interesting though.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting point. Wow. So we're going to move away from America and down into grime and Kano.
Oh, yeah.
P's and Q's. I remember when Kano first kind of arrived on the scene.
Yeah.
Artists like Stormzy, I guess, the most recent that have really put it on the map.
100%.
So Kano, what was...
Yeah.
This is quite different from everything else that you've picked.
Very different. I think for me, Kano is my favourite UK hip-hop artist. I just consider him hip-hop artist. I didn't really come up in the grime scene. Like you said, like grime's been around for a lot longer. Like you said, it's only recently kind of come and broken through. But P's and Q's was the first record that I heard from Kano. And again, it was the first time that a UK record just made me go, whoa.
Some manners don't like me, they try and bad mind me when Kano comes to town. All I say is mine's right and they lose the limelight when Kano comes around. Some chats screw me or even see me, but it don't work cause the crowd don't boo me. You ain't a true G, I'm too deep, how can Kano stay on the ground? I ain't like most that roll around and kick shit off, I hold it down. But we're still gully, the only pop you'll hear from us is pop, pop, pop them out. Act up and get boxed in the mouth, cause you're just playing a gangster. You ain't never weighed it out, sport a bouncer. You ain't never hit no blocks in your mouth. You ain't got love in North, West and South. And I'm an East boy, you're a cheap boy. I finish it when you start the beef, boy. Girls like me, but I ain't a sweet boy. So boy, don't think you can move to me. You think I'll be a sleep boy? Cause I'm on my P's and Q's. That's why I make more P's than U's. Even when I've been freezing to slip, there ain't no reason to slip in. If there ain't a blitz between the clips, that's slipping. No whip out the man of Lincoln chicks. That's slipping. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's. Even on my own too, that's the difference between me and you. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's. Even on my own too, that's the difference between me and you. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's. Even on my own too, that's the difference between me and you. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's. Even on my own too, that's the difference between me and you. I hate losing, so I ain't snoozing. From London to Luton, I'm moving. I'm even murking overseas, and I got it locked from London to Leeds. Please, from time you heard me shine, now I'm big from London to Merseyside. You got lines, but you spit like nursery rhymes. This year's gotta be my
mind, I'm the first in line. Wow, you got your first rewind, but the second line sounded like the first line. I ain't got punchlines, I got kick lines, and I ain't commercial, but I got hit lines. I spit deep rhymes, but I got the girls on my side from the first rewind. You might see my face in a magazine or in a fur coat in Face magazine, cause they're spreading the word down from rage that I've been, and they're bringing the purse out to pay for my team. I couldn't give a shit or breaking the scene, making a scene and start making the cream. See, I got a gang with me, and when you walk in a gangster lean, you're all talk, you don't wanna rap with me. There's no jokes or no pranks with me. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's, even on my own too. That's the difference between me and you. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's, even on my own too. That's the difference between me and you. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's. In sneaks or shoes, we're in a Honda, fuck it, no Jeeps and coupes. We'll cheat your crew, we're so hungry, we'll teeth your food. So mind out before you find out who you're speaking to. I speak to you on a level and speak the truth. So please, there's fuck in me, but there ain't no me in you. And please, you ain't busting one, let alone squeezing two. Say cheese, but it won't be a snapshot. Pull out and try and hit like the jackpot. Leave. I ain't waiting around baiting the town for K to be found. That's slipping. If the rain a blitz between the clicks, that's slipping. No whip out the man of Lincoln chicks. That's slipping. That's slipping. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's, even on my own too. That's the difference between me and you. If you see me in a game with my crew, believe I'm on my P's and Q's, even on my own too. That's the difference between me and you.
That's the difference. See what I'm saying? You gotta be on the P's and Q's. This day and age is serious outside. Oh, tap my niggas. Stand strong, it's Kano. Yeah. Da Vinci. Straight taking over. No long ting, no prisoners. Woo! 2004.
The producer, the production on it, produced by Da Vinci, again made me go, whoa, who's this? You know, I didn't know much about grime back then. Like I said, I didn't come up in the grime scene. I came up in the hip hop scene. So it was the first grime record. And UK record actually that made me go, okay, let me this is crazy, this is dope. And for that reason, that's why I picked it, because I felt like I had to, well, I wanted to pick something that was, you know, UK, and it was kind of like a choice between either Kano or Wretch, if I'm honest. But I went with P's and Q's because I can't even believe that P's and Q's is, I think, 12 years old.
That's insane.
It's madness.
And it still sounds so relevant.
It's madness. And yeah, exactly. And it's one of those, I think it's one of those tracks that's up there with Dizzy Rascals.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's one of those all time greats, if not one of the greatest grime records of all time. Definitely Kano's P's and Q's.
And when, I mean, you recently played London, do you still kind of keep in touch with artists that are coming out of London, or is it very much a global kind of recognition of artists?
I think now where I'm at, it's very much a global kind of thing. I'm like on the new album, for example, the majority of the features on the album are all Ghanaian based artists actually. I guess I still keep in touch with some artists in London, but I'm not based in London. And I've been based in Scotland for so long that I'm practically Scottish at the moment, that I'm very much even more interested in what's going on up here.
Yeah.
Because even the grime scene up here is great. I think for the first time for me, what I'm seeing in Scotland is a generational thing that's coming through. And I love it because I consider myself coming from the generation of, say, like the Urban Scott days, which is probably like 2006, 2007, and for the first time I'm seeing the next generation or the next wave. You know, you've got people like Ransom Lefay who's doing great things in within the grime scene, and I love to see that. You know, I love to see the scene bubbling again, and if I'm honest, I'm paying more attention to what's going on up here than I am down in London. I feel like being Glasgow based has helped my musical career, it's helped my creativity. I mean, people might not like this, but I feel sometimes if you're based in London, you get stuck in that bubble of what London is.
I think it's, you know? so true.
And when it comes to the urban music scene, or when it comes to any type of music scene, you tend to just do what everybody else is doing. And,
yeah.
And I've seen that happen from afar. It's like you go down to London, people go down to London, and it's everyone sounding the same. And it's so ironic how hip hop, you know, is meant to be the whole, oh, you know, do you and be original and stand out. And like everyone's on the same wave and everyone's doing that. And every, you know, I'm like, I don't think that's really cool. Do you know what I mean? And so being up here is a blessing. It's made me more free to be creative. It's made me develop, I think, great as an artist away from the bubble, to the point where I feel when I go down to London, it's like it goes back to the whole thing of standing out. It goes back to the way, well, I stand out because I guess I developed away from the bubble.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing, and I feel very blessed for you speaking to me in such an honest and articulate way. Because I hold a great deal of respect for you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best going forward.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Run, run, diddy, run, go. Tell my mother I've come home. Run, run, diddy, run, go. Tell my mother I've come home. Run, run, diddy, run, go. Tell my mother I've come home. Run, run, diddy, run, go. Tell my mother I've come home.
After many years and many tears, many fears of not knowing, the cheers are loud and now flowing. Now the seeds have all been sown, the trees have all grown. So the time comes to go home.
Run, run, diddy, run, go. Tell my mother I've come home. Run, run, diddy, run, go. Tell my mother I've come home. Run, run.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.